And I will always love you. And I will always love you. You know, that's a crazy song. Because, okay, she starts it off as a cappella.
Yeah.
She, you know, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And then without, and then I was a coward. I didn't even start off with that, you know, a cappella part. I started off at the part where it's like, you know,
the music came through.
The music came in.
Yeah.
Yeah, even though I am doing it a cappella, but, you know, the point being, the name of the show is Politics.
Yeah, although
I call it Politrix, and the title of this episode is Dune. My name is Presh.
My name is Dio.
And very excited for this.
Dune.
Yes, before...
Please tell me why you sing the song, Doc. That's the only thing I need to know.
There's no correlation between the songs okay. and the episode. There's just...
just a random
it's
song.
Whatever's in my heart.
Okay. And okay, sure.
Although okay. it's my auntie...
Mm.
Her favorite singer is
Whitney.
Whitney, yes. Whitney. And I think I'll Always Love You is a favorite song. So, you know.
Look, ain't no beef with Whitney. That's a cool song.
Yeah.
Mm. So, tell
me, it's from the movie The Bodyguard.
Yes. With the.
Kevin Costner.
Oh. Not Liam Neeson.
No.
Kevin Costner.
I'm going to be honest, I've never watched that movie. So Liam Neeson may be in it. I couldn't tell you.
I think I watched it only once.
Yes, but anyway. Last year we did a most anticipated movie. And my number one most anticipated movie was Mickey 17, which has been pushed back to 2025.
Yes.
So my second... most anticipated movie is bumped up to number one, and that was Dune.
Yes, right? Awesome.
So
here we are.
Yes, here we are. The big day has arrived.
Yes, finally.
Right? So let's do some cleanup from last week.
Yes, what happened?
I said Sam Mendes directed Casino Royale and Skyfall, but that was totally wrong. He directed Skyfall and Spectre.
Okay, cool.
He's the guy who's doing the.
The next James.
No. The four Beatles movies.
Oh, the four. Yes.
That's what I was...
But now that we talk about Casino Royale and Skyfall, when is the next 007 coming? And are they going to use Idris? Or, like, who are they trying to use, man?
Okay.
What you know about...
Huge spoilers for the last James Bond movie. If you don't want to hear anything, skip ahead like...
Yeah.
Skip like ahead 50. Like a minute, two
yeah.
minutes, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Is everybody...
Yeah.
Okay.
Go.
In the last James Bond movie, he dies. He gets blown up on...
oh, James?
Yes.
Ah, come on. But he must die in like five or six of the movies, so...
No,
who's the new person?
He's never died. This is the first time he's died.
But it doesn't matter because James Bond can be any person, right? It's a new person. It doesn't matter who you are.
No, 007 can be any person. James Bond is a specific guy.
But 007... is the
code
role
name.
Right?
Yeah,
and then the person who chooses to be 007 will introduce himself as Bond.
No,
James Bond.
No, that's it's like saying, you know, the captain of Liverpool Football Club is currently Virgil van Dijk, but it was formerly Henderson. It's like saying currently it's Henderson when it's not, you know, just because it was in the past.
What are you trying to tell me? That James Bond is a temporary, like, fictional name?
No. James Bond is a specific guy.
Who?
A guy.
James Bond.
The character.
Oh, okay. Okay, so James Bond, the specific character, has died now.
He's dead.
Okay.
So what are we going to do?
Don't they have other characters?
That's what I'm saying. Do they recast it, or do they just carry on in that universe without James Bond?
Nah, bruh, I'm so confused. All I wanted to know is if Idris is gonna play
we
James
don't,
Bond.
That's what I'm saying. We don't know if they're gonna bring James
fine.
Bond back.
Okay, so the whole plot for James Bond is very confusing right now, but it's on the table. We don't know what's going on. Cool.
Yes,
I'll accept that. Tell me what else happened last week.
Again, we were also speaking about the Beatles, and I said, I don't know them for music, I know them for drugs. Right? And I said, it's not the entire Beatles, it's only John Lennon. Their manager funded the Holy Mountain. And I couldn't remember the name of that director. His name is Alejandro Jodorowsky.
Yeah.
and he is a rapist.
Hecht.
Right? Apparently, he raped a woman on the set of his movie El Topo.
Yeah.
Like, on the set of a movie.
That's nasty, bro.
Yeah, and he's just a horrible person. He never went to jail for it.
Yeah.
He never, like, experienced consequences for it at all, so.
That's terrible.
Scumbag.
Yeah. Sad things, man. But what's happening in the news nowadays? Right. While we're on the topic of sadness. You know, personally, I don't like the news because it makes me too sad. But tell us.
That's like just sticking your head in the sand, you know. The news is going to happen whether or not you...
No, it will happen and I will become aware of it. But I will choose not to actively pursue the news.
You know what? Fair enough.
But, yeah.
Sometimes you just want a chill day. You don't want to be brought down by reading something.
I'll hear eventually, but you know, for now, tell me. Yeah, like for example, I heard about this people on the news who were talking about the cannabis and how they're gonna try and legalize it in South Africa.
So I'm reading this from businesstech.co.za in a story by Seth Thorne. The National Council of Provinces has passed the Cannabis for Private Purpose Bill, meaning that the legislation is now waiting on the President's desk to be signed into law.
Finally.
Right. Yeah. On 27 February 2024, the NCOP passed the amended piece of legislation, which establishes a new legal framework for adult private use of cannabis, while tightening and clarifying the restrictions related to children and the use of possession of the plant.
Right.
Definitely a good thing.
We don't want no kids. Yeah.
It should be treated in the same way as alcohol.
Yeah.
You know,
sure,
like
sure.
You an adult, you can get alcohol.
But I'm more curious to see what about the use and possession of the plant. But so we'll get into that.
In 2018, the Constitutional Court upheld a ruling finding that sections of the Drugs and Drug Trafficking Act were unconstitutional, leading the way to the decriminalization of private cannabis use in South Africa.
All right, cool.
Introduced in 2020, the legislation broadly seeks to allow for the cultivation and possession of a stipulated quantity of cannabis and the private use of it in private settings. It looks to expunge the criminal records of those convicted of possessing cannabis.
That's pretty good, at least.
I think is a big, big thing, right? You can't say this is legal now, and then everyone who was arrested for it stays in prison. You know, that's a huge thing that needs to be taken into consideration.
For sure.
Right. Responding to various concerns, Parliament released a statement saying that the bill, quote, does not propose protection and neither suggesting any provision to use cannabis for traditional purposes, and it is not at all aimed to condone the use of cannabis for commercial intentions. Right? The bill also, quote, extremely prohibits children to possess, deal, and smoke or consume cannabis, it added. What are the prescribed amounts?
Let's find out.
According to the bill, there's a prescribed quantity of cannabis that an adult can cultivate and possess for personal use. First, unlimited seeds and seedlings for private cultivation.
Are we?
Allowed 4 flowering cannabis plants or cannabis plant equivalent per adult person in a private place.
Okay.
I don't know what 4 flowering.
So, yeah, like I have
like
one.
Like a potted plant.
Yeah, like you have 4 for you and 4 for me if we live in the same house.
Yeah.
You know, so we can have 8 together. But like, obviously, you live by yourself, you can only have your 4. So, yeah.
Privately possess 1 flowering cannabis plant or cannabis plant equivalent in a public space.
Sure. So I can take my bud and I can take it out to the club and be like, yo, this is what I grew.
Why?
Only, no, I'm just trying to like, you're proud of the plants that you grow in your house, so why not show them off too?
Sure. But,
sure, yeah.
Privately possess 100 grams of dried cannabis or cannabis equivalent in a public space.
Okay.
That's a lot.
And then you can still privately possess 600 grams in a private place.
Yes.
That's amazing,
yeah,
bro.
But like you at home. But like, why would you be walking around with 100 grams?
Hey, bro, that's cool.
That's
at least
crazy.
Nobody's going to say I'm trying to, you know, sell. But anyway, let's see. What else?
An adult person may provide to or obtain from any adult person without payment 30 seeds or seedlings, or any combination thereof, 1 flowering cannabis plant or cannabis plant equivalent, 100 grams of dried cannabis or cannabis equivalent, without payment.
What is going on?
100 grams for free.
Bro, so like if I grew my plant and actually if you gave me a seedling, you could give it to me for free. Yeah. I'll grow it for you and but then I could give you back.
It's illegal to sell.
Yeah, but I could give it back to you now. Yeah. Okay.
The bill does have penalties for contraventions of the provisions in terms of possession, cultivation, smoking, and consumption, specifically in public places as well as the involvement of a child.
Mm.
So, firstly, smoking and consumption of cannabis in public is prohibited.
That never really bugged me. I feel like if I went for a walk around the park and I smoked a joint.
I was going to say like a park or something.
Yeah, is
that's
that like
crazy?
Yeah, you know, if I was generally out in the park, I would smoke. But obviously, I'd be very careful to be respectful and make sure to throw my nice biodegradable filter in the, you know, dirt bin. But anyway, okay. Yeah.
Exceeding the prescribed amount previously stipulated.
Mm-hmm.
It is a criminal offense to smoke cannabis in a public place, in a vehicle, on a public road, or in the immediate presence of any non-consenting adult person or child.
Okay.
So
a public road. Fuck, they caught me.
Anybody
in my vehicle. God damn.
Anybody can just be like, oh, I can smell that weed. I'm calling the cops.
And so, then the cops are going to get there, and then the cops are going to be like, yo, do you have weed? And then you're going to be like, yeah, I got about 99 grams in the back of my car.
Yeah, that's underneath.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Cannabis is considered an intoxicating substance. Therefore, a person may not operate a vehicle after having used it. It cannot be sold.
This is weird, bro. It cannot be sold.
Yeah.
So, like, how do people expect to make money off of it now?
I don't know.
Because I just want to buy it. And now they're just telling me that it cannot be sold. I gotta grow my own things. Alright, bet.
Yeah,
anyway.
So that's the end of the article. Thoughts?
I mean, that's just weird, bro. Like, I don't know. It can't be sold. I can't buy it, but I can have as many of it as I want, basically, yes. You know.
So, on a previous episode, very long ago, I cannot recall the episode, we advocated for fully legalizing marijuana, right? All the money that can be gained from marijuana would be added to our tax money, and that tax money could be reinvested in public services and public infrastructure. So it's the, even though I personally don't use marijuana, the, why did you know?
I'm just saying because I wanna, you know, jump in, let me know.
All right. The opinion of this podcast is that it should be fully legalized.
That makes sense, yeah.
Yes, you wanted to jump in?
Yeah, because I was talking with my mom and I'm saying, you know, this is a multi-million dollar industry, and if South Africa got involved with it, they could probably make some great money off of it, you know, and it would really help, like you're saying, building infrastructure, also job employment. When we were looking at the GDP, you know, and we'll discuss it later, the agricultural section is a bit lower. Why is that? We have a whole plant that we can agricultural, I mean, what we can cultivate. Let me say we can cultivate this plant, and you know, it'll provide for us in many different ways. But you know, I don't know. Now the bill is saying weird things.
So, speaking of which, our next story: SA escapes a recession by the skin of Eskom's teeth.
Not my own teeth, but the skin of Eskom's teeth.
I'm reading this from news24.com in a story by Rene Bonakis.
Yeah.
That's, I'm trying my best here. I'm sorry if I pronounce the name wrong, right? Growth in the SA economy increased 0.1% from the third to the fourth quarter of 2023, in line with expectations, with the country having avoided a technical recession after Eskom power generation improved in the final quarter of last year. So
from the third to the fourth quarter, we went up 0.1%.
But yes, this is the thing. I don't know too much about this.
Mm-hmm.
Economics is not my strong suit, but
me too.
I don't know if 0.1 is a big or a small amount. It feels small, to be honest.
It feels like we're taking very small baby steps, yeah.
Yes. But as long as we're not moving backwards, you know.
Yeah.
That's
sure.
I think that's good.
I mean, 1% might be major.
It's but not 0.1%.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's 0.1%. If it was 1%, I would be like, I bet, you know, we're making good strides. But 0.1.
Okay. According to the most recent preliminary indicators, real gross domestic product growth rose 0.6% in 2023 compared to an increase of 1.9% in 2022.
Okay.
For the fourth quarter, the transport, storage, and communication industry increased by 2.9%, contributing 0.2 of a percentage point to GDP growth, according to Statistics SA. Increased economic activities were reported for land transport, air transport, transport support services, and communications.
Awesome.
The mining and quarrying industry grew 2.4% in the fourth quarter. The personal services industry grew 0.9%, while the finance, real estate, and business service industry expanded by 0.6%. Expenditure on real GDP rose 0.1% in the fourth quarter of 2023. So, GDP in 2023 was higher than that of the pre-pandemic growth of 0.3 in 2019, but excluding the pandemic years, it was the worst growth number since 2009.
Okay, look, we're just trying to get back on our feet. But, yeah, like I'm saying, I felt this new bill might even enhance the, you know, GDP factors.
But I would... let me just finish off the article.
Sure.
The SA Reserve Bank's GDP growth forecast for 2024 and 2025 was unchanged in January at 1.2 and 1.3% respectively. Treasury was far more optimistic in February and expected a 1.3% in 2024 and a 1.6% in 2025. So
these people were expecting 1 point numbers and we've got...
No. This was for last year.
2024 and 2025. 1.2 and 1.3.
Yes.
So that's what they were expecting.
No, we haven't gotten it yet.
Yeah, that's the forecast.
Yes.
That's what people think.
Yes.
And where are we now? What number are we at now?
We don't know because we have to wait until...
Oh, okay. The full
happen.
Year.
Yes,
I bet. I just remembered this is a three quarters isn't report. It's not the full report, right?
No, we're at the end of the financial year now.
Oh, okay.
I think it's either at the end of February or the end of March.
Around that time.
So thoughts on that article?
Like I'm saying, you know, I don't know what that weed bill is actually trying to do, who it's trying to help, or what it's trying to achieve. So if I could gain some clarity around that,
I think
I guess
it may
would
be
help.
That, like, the quantities. So, like, you know, if you had some for personal use, the cops could say, oh no, you were trying to sell or something like that. Now that they've said specifically what quantity you're allowed to have, you know.
But then, dude, like, am I supposed to ride around with 99 grams of weed in my car?
Yes, you're not.
And I'm not selling it. I'm only using that for my personal use. Does that make sense? And I cannot use it in a public park, a public road or something.
You could have just bought. Well, not bought. You could have just...
That's what... There's no money element. Where's the money element?
Again, I don't think they want to encourage that.
They don't want to encourage money.
Because, look...
These fucking idiots.
You know, like... religion and stuff. They're against marijuana.
Okay.
So, you know, there's a lot of religious people in the country. They may be against the marijuana as a concept, and they would vote against the ANC.
Bro, I'ma tell you, like you told me, that's like sticking your head in the sand. The weed is gonna happen anyway. When you go outside and you smell it, oh, yep, someone's hitting that. You can't do anything about that.
You and I understand that. I'm saying, what if these people who are against it, they don't realize the percentage, that amount of people that smoke?
Hence, I'm saying those people are dumb, because the amount of people who smoke and the amount of opportunity and money that can be made from this is ridiculous, you know. But people are not interested in it, clearly. Anyway.
Your new story, you had
I heard in the news, in Pakistan, 35 people died from unexpected snow, which I just found mind-blowing because, like, so many of them were children, some adults as well, and the snow just came out of nowhere and hit you so hard that, you know, you basically died. That seems crazy, man. Seems very preventable as well. What do you think about it?
To me, it feels like the climate is changing.
Mm.
It was one way, now it's another way.
Mm.
It's changed. The climate, that is.
Mm. But, like, if I go there now, will there still be snow? Or has the snow finished? Was it like a temporary change or
a permanent change? Let me just pull back the curtain for a moment here. Him and I were listening to the radio just now and we heard the same stuff. I can't answer these questions. I don't know why you're asking me.
I was there with you. Your opinion, you know.
I was there with you. I heard the same amount of information you did.
Fine, whatever, fine. Let's just get into the movie because we like this movie.
But I would have assumed, like, they weren't, like, crushed by snow. It just, you know, they were, like, maybe out in the wilderness. It got cold, and they froze to death.
Mm. Okay, sure. I can dig that. Maybe, like, a school camp.
Again, I don't know. I have no...
Sure. No, but, like, look, what you're offering is valuable because it's helping me digest and understand this. So, I appreciate that.
All right.
Yeah, they went on a school camping trip, and then they got frozen over. That's how that
is. Does that help you?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's just jump into the context for the movie.
Yes.
So this is obviously an adaptation of the second half of the 1965 book Dune. Familiar with Dune?
Yes. The Dune! Yes.
You've read it?
No. But of course not. Who has read the Dune book? Put your hands up. I see you not putting your hand up. Cool. Tell me about the book that you didn't read.
I was just asking. Right. So I've never read the book, but I'm led to believe that the book was written in response to the movie Lawrence of Arabia, which I have seen. Right.
Okay.
That movie depicts a white savior narrative, which is when a white character is the central role and saves non-white people, and, you know, the actual people who want to be liberated, their own agency is ignored, right? Examples of this are Avatar, Dances with Wolves, and The Blind Side.
Huh.
Have you seen those movies?
Yeah, I saw The Blind Side and Avatar.
So, The Blind Side, in real life, the guy was already a football player.
Oh.
In the movie, they made it seem as if they taught him how to play football.
Oh.
Right? It's stuff like that where you ignore the person who actually did the thing and you... You know, you've sent him a story about
to someone else.
You yes.
Know,
and
the white savior.
And usually it's the white savior, right? Mm. So Dune is a criticism of this idea, with Paul and Lady Jessica quite clearly manipulating the Fremen under the guise of Paul being a prophet.
Mm.
So he's not actually a prophet. If this were, you know, being a white savior movie, Paul would just be the prophet. But he's quite clearly manipulating them for his own goals to get revenge for his father dying.
Mm.
Right.
Okay.
The Fremen are free at the end of the movie, but instead of saying, "Hey, you're free now. Here's your planet.
Do what you want."
Do what you want. He goes in for more revenge.
Mm.
I mean,
he carries out leading them. Yeah.
He tells them, "Send them to paradise," which means there's gonna be more war.
Mm.
Right. So, instead of fighting for themselves, they are now pawns in Paul's quest for revenge. Paul is the villain of our narrative, right? He's Darth Vader.
Sure. I never really liked him in the first place.
Well, that, right? So a major part of Dune is the spice melange, a drug that allows for space travel. The spice is a metaphor for magic mushrooms and mind-expanding drugs in general.
Yes.
LSD. Right? LSD, acid, ayahuasca, whatever, right? Frank Herbert was a wild drug user and used his experiences on shrooms to write about it. The other thing is spice is a metaphor for oil. Arrakis is analogous to the oil-rich Middle East in general, but its name is also probably derived from Iraq. Therefore, the book is about colonialism and how foreign powers are exploiting the natural resources of an indigenous peoples, specifically the Arab world. in this. So these are the big themes, very thematically significant book.
Right? And when we were watching it, my girlfriend was like, what language are they speaking? Is that Arabic? I was like, I don't know, but it must be a made-up language.
Yeah.
But I guess it's based in something, you know. So, like you said.
Yes.
Yeah.
The first adaptation of Dune was in 1984, directed by David Lynch.
Mm-hmm.
Are you familiar with David Lynch?
I have heard of him,
He's a famous director. He made Twin Peaks.
Yes.
I've never seen Twin Peaks, but I have seen a lot of his movies. My favorite movie of his is Blue Velvet. It's a detective movie.
Okay, nice.
Which, So I watched this during the pandemic, and it was supremely confusing. Because, like...
The first adaptation.
No.
With Dune.
Yes.
Dune.
So...
Okay.
Here, in the 2021 and 2024, they did... 2 hours and 45 minutes each, roughly, right? That compromises one book. In the 1984 version, they did the whole book in one movie and in less time than one of these movies, right? I think it was like 2 hours and 15 minutes. So they tried to just cram everything in, and you don't know what the fuck is going on. At least I don't, right? The only thing I remember from that movie is his little sister. In the book, his little sister is born. In this movie, you know, like...
she's not yet born.
Yeah, she's still in Rebecca's stomach, right? But at the end of that movie, she goes, "He is the Quetzalcoatl Haderach!" And I was like, what the fuck is that? I was not paying attention at all, right? Then earlier I mentioned the director of the movie The Holy Mountain, Jodorowsky. He attempted to make an adaptation of Dune, but unfortunately he couldn't secure the funding to actually make it. So again, he's a scumbag, fuck him. Right? The next adaptation was a TV miniseries in the early 2000s starring James McAvoy as Paul. I've never even heard about this until I was researching this episode.
Me too. How was the TV series looking?
It looks very cheap. That's the problem. You know.
I see.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Then we get to the 2021 movie that adapts the first half of the book. This was both the first movie I watched in the theater since the pandemic started, and the first time I watched a movie in the Eastgate IMAX, which is now my favorite cinema.
For sure.
I initially gave the movie an 8, but when we did the commentary, I enjoyed it a lot more and bumped it up to a 9. Right. The director, Denis Villeneuve, is one of my favorite working directors. He's on this insane run from Prisoners to Dune 2 that are only 9s and 10s. He's made about, I think, 6 movies, and all of them are either a 9 or a 10. So, unfortunately, his movies don't make a lot of money. So he's not like, you know, the studio's not coming to him and being like, hey, direct this, direct that. He's... you know, he can only get what he...
He's kind of struggling on his own there.
Yeah. But he did get Dune, so, you know.
I'm sure after some time, because you said he made a couple of movies, and I believe that they are pretty good movies.
Yes, his movies are excellent. It's just the public doesn't support him.
Yeah.
It's a damn shame, in my opinion. So... Also, I went to watch this movie with my brother and my friend who does shrooms. Not me. My friend.
Yeah.
Because if it was me, I would tell you guys. But it's not me. Yeah. It was my friend.
Tell me about your friend.
And he thought it was a game changer.
Oh, yeah?
Right? Because he's gone there a few times. Like for the Aquaman.
It sounds like it's your favorite. It's your friend's favorite Eastgate IMAX.
Yeah. Similarly to me.
Sure.
But yes, excellent theater. You, like, the sound is so, like, immersive. It's, you feel like you're genuinely there.
Yeah, right? for sure.
It was so dope, right? So yes, I've written in my I've never mentioned this before, but I have a blog where I write about like places in and around Gauteng, you know, fun things to do, and either my second or third post was about the Eastgate IMAX. I love it so much. So you know, if you want to read more about it, you can go find my blog, which
it's a nice place, just in general, that Eastgate Mall. So I'd also say definitely if you're in the area, check it out. It's a nice, lots of little shops. My favorite, Cinnabon, must be. Don't order it from home though, but and then the Eastgate. And then if you can, put the Cinnabon, like get the little takeaway one, and then you put it in your bag, and then you go in the cinema, and then you smash that shit.
Well, I don't understand why they don't... you know, like partner.
Yeah, that's the thing. I've been to cinemas all around the world. In India, in Indonesia, in Thailand. The cinemas all have banging things, bro. Like a large selection of popcorns, cool drinks, sweets, and then you can still have savory snacks, pizzas, hot dogs, and chicken wings and shit.
Well, we have that in Cinema Nouveau and Cinema Prestige. So specific cinemas, they have food.
Too much money, man. Too much money.
All right, so I'm just saying. You know, said we don't have that.
It should be standard. It should be standard in all the cinema. Why do I have to get a prestige ticket to get this prestige, you know, treatment?
I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm just saying. In other places of the world, that sort of treatment is standard. So, you know, it could be interesting. So, tell me about your thoughts on the movie.
So. The acting in this movie is phenomenal. In the Wonka episode and the June Part 1 commentary, I said I'm not a fan of Timothée Chalamet. But he's amazing in this movie. Right? This is the first time that I've looked at him as a superstar actor.
Oh, yeah?
Another person I want to single out is Austin Butler as Fade Rauther. This was also a big star turn for me. So he was nominated last year for Best Actor in his role as Elvis. But I didn't see Elvis. So I was unfamiliar with his game. Right? And so everyone else is good. I saw a tweet that said something like, who's the best actor in Dune? Whoever's on the screen.
I love it. Yeah.
Because everybody just brings it.
Yeah, but for sure.
Obviously, Tim and... Fade, they have the most screen time, so they had the most to do. I love my my favorite scene was, you know, when he's giving that speech and he says no one here can stand against me, and then, you know, when he said when Arrakis was known by its name, Dune, I was like, shit. He's killing it. He's killing the shit. Sure.
That was
swag. Fuck.
Yes. Swag.
And Fade, he's doing a impression of Baron fuck, what's his name?
Yeah, that fat Baron.
Baron Harkonnen.
Yeah.
Right? He's at first I didn't realize that he was doing that. I was just like, well, that's a weird voice. And then when he was talking with his uncle, I was like, oh, I see what's happening here. He's either like he's trying to be like his uncle, or that's just how they all talk. But then, you know, Raban, played by Batista, he doesn't talk like that. So I don't know. I think it's just Fade trying to be like his uncle, right?
So just to make sure, Fade is the nephew.
The guy, he fought to at the end of the movie.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't want to call it a sword fight. It was like a...
It was a sword fight, bro.
That's a little... Those knives. Are small knives.
Knives.
There was a knife
daggers.
Fight.
Daggers. Call it a dagger.
A dagger fight.
Yeah.
But that was not a sword fight. That was...
a dagger fight in the middle of a knife and a sword is a dagger, must be.
So, the action in this movie is outstanding. Starting all the way from the beginning when the Harkonnen troopers arrive and start floating. And Paul has to fight one with the knife. Bro, you see it twice. Once when the Harkonnens come and they go to the top of that mountain. And when we first meet Josh Brolin, he jumps off a thing and floats down. I love that floating shit. That's so crazy.
Very cool, though. Yeah, very cool.
There's so many times like, I have to go upstairs and I'm thinking, you're off.
I could just be push 1, 2 and be up there, you know.
if I had a floating thing, a little floating chair or something.
Nah, but then you'll end up like the Baron, you see. I don't want to be lazy. The Baron, he's also got a floating chair, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I won't want the chair, but definitely a suit where I can, you know, float up occasionally.
I think he just floats on his own.
Oh, yeah?
And then, like...
Nah, didn't they cut something off of him and then he stopped floating?
No.
He was in when he was facing the emperor.
They I think he was just on his knees.
Oh.
Like he can get to the front, but like I mean he can get to the floor. It's just
I don't know about that. But anyway,
he just prefers to float around and like,
you know, lazy as Baron.
Yeah.
And yeah, we were talking about Stoker.
No. They're using the scene where they're using the giant machine as cover when they blow up the helicopter.
Yes, yes.
Another dope scene, which I loved. I just don't... It's kind of weird, right? The first time Zendaya shoots, she hits the helicopter, but the shield stops it. And then the second time she shoots, it works. I wonder what changed.
Well, I was also wondering the same thing, because you were saying the shield stops fast movement and only allows slow movement. But when they were fighting and generally just they, when they're popping out the sand looking swag, they knife niggas so quickly. And like, don't these guys have shields or what? Or are these stormtroopers not shielding?
I don't know, dude. Because it's like, they kind of threw that idea away, right? Like, in the first movie... they had a lot more to do with shields. In this movie, it's like, who gives a fuck about a shield, dude?
Because even that guy, he was fighting in the ring, feeling swag, and then he took off his shield, and everyone was going mad, like, you know?
He wasn't in the ring. He was in black and white.
In the ring?
In the ring, sorry.
Yeah, in the ring.
My mistake.
Well, technically a triangle.
Whatever that was.
You know, the champion arena where he was fighting his fucking cousins or something.
Not his cousins.
Who?
Those are just random slaves.
He said that this is not the first time that I've had to kill family.
They were referring to his mother.
Oh. Well, so even worse, this guy's a mother killer.
Yes. Then, like, early on in the movie.
Yes, I remember.
Princess Irulan says that he's psychotic and... Yeah.
And they ask, why should I talk to him? And she's like, I'm a mom's bro. I ain't trying to be involved with this mother killer. I ain't trying to be like that.
Right. Paul riding the worm.
Yes.
I think is one of the great scenes in movie history.
The worm doesn't make too much sense to me because I can't really visualize it. It really did help when they bought that small worm and they extracted that venom. Because, it gave you a chance to see what a... Like, you know, because now you get an up-close personal look at what it looks like, what its skin seems like, how long it is, you know, something like that. So it gave a nice idea. But, like, I couldn't see much of them riding the worm except him just struggling to stand up, you know.
It was like... I agree with that. It's the fact that it's so big you can't see it all at once. But you do get, like...
Yeah, nice when he does stand up, eventually, it looks swag, for sure.
And the music was going crazy in that scene when he first rides the sandworm. Holy shit. Speaking of which, the music in this movie is done by Hans Zimmer. Are you familiar with his work? Okay, so he did the score for Interstellar. He's a longtime collaborator with Christopher Nolan.
Oh, okay.
And he started working with Denis Villeneuve in Blade Runner 2049. And I'm a big fan of Hans Zimmer. In the Oppenheimer episode, I said that I liked Ludwig Göransson more than Hans Zimmer. That doesn't mean I don't like Hans Zimmer full stop. That just means I prefer Ludwig. But yes, Hans Zimmer, also incredible composer. Apparently, though, that he doesn't do his own work. He has, like, assistants do a lot of the stuff, so... Whoever his assistants are, you know, good job. Because they killed the shit, you know.
For sure.
The music in this movie, I've been listening to the soundtrack while I work over the past couple of days because it's, you know, it's such a banger.
I'm glad you like it, man. It was, it's always, You know, I guess you don't really realize how much of an effect music has in the movie until you see a movie with no music, bro. Like when they start making the movie or something, it just seems so weird, you know? So
Well,
they
that's the
did a very
thing.
great job.
One of the biggest things I've learned since I've started watching a lot of movies since, basically since the pandemic started, is that sound is about sound,
For
because
sure.
I completely underrated it. In fact, I didn't rate it at all, right? I didn't think about the sound, and now I'm like, wow.
That makes a big difference, though.
Yeah, I listened to, like I was just saying about Dune, Oppenheimer. Those are the only two in the last like year or
Blade
so.
Runner.
The Blade Runner. I listen to those soundtracks all the time.
Well,
Interstellar.
yeah, okay. Well, you like that sort of vibe. So I'm saying for me, the vibe I would listen to a soundtrack would be any movie like Black Panther. What did I say? The Creed
But
movies. So
that's
those are
a
gangster type
no. Well,
of.
those are soundtracks. These
Yeah.
are, you know,
Is this
the
not a soundtrack?
no. It's the score. I'm
Okay.
listening to the score of the
Okay,
movie.
okay.
Yes, score is just the, you know, music. Soundtrack is like a song.
Yeah, they have
Yes.
the full versions and everything.
Yes,
I
yes,
bet.
yes. So Fate Rauta in the Colosseum. I love that. That looks so sick, the black and white. And the reason that happens is because their son is a, like, I don't know, their son makes it look like black and white.
Oh, yes.
That's the
It did look
reason.
very weird, huh?
Which, so this has a very brown color palette, can we say that? Because they're mainly on Arrakis, right? In the first movie, we got to see Caladan and Arrakis, so there was like a contrast there.
Yeah.
In this one, where 80% of the movie we on Arrakis, so we needed something to break up that monotony. You know, we needed like a black and white scene. I would have liked for there to have been more color. You know, like if we went to a different planet that was very colorful.
That's what I thought when he said, "Take them to paradise." I was like, "Yes, we're going
We'll
to a new place with nice colors and shit." But apparently, that's not
speak about that later on,
it.
right? It also shows how sick the Harkonnens are. That so. Okay, first of all, it's sick that they poisoned the what are they called? The prisoners.
Oh, the ones that were fighting.
Yes, they poison the prisoners and then they fight them and kill them. That's first of all sick.
Pussy
That's
ass niggas.
it's like, come on, dude. Then it's sick that he didn't poison the one guy and let him, you know,
Fight normally.
fight normally without him knowing. So it just goes to show like how evil and like how like
Twisted.
twisted that family
Yeah,
is,
for
right?
sure.
So yes, I really enjoyed that scene. I also thought it was a very sensual movie. Sensual, not sexual, right? Because instead of it being overt, they convey the idea that Paul and Chani are in love with these longing shots and other non-verbal communication. You know, they don't like just go to each other and say, "Hey, I find you attractive," and you know, like it's done in a very, like I said, non-verbal way. Yeah, similarly between Fade and Lea Seydoux, when she seduces him, we neither see him put his hand in the box or have sex. Although putting his hand in the box may be a metaphor for sex, either way, we don't actually see it happen, right? So it's just a lot of like teasing without.
Well, I wouldn't really say it's very sensual then, because even when Paul and Chennai like do
Charlie.
smash Chani, when they do smash, you don't even know they're smashed. You just see them breathing on top of each other, their lips are so close, and then he's asking her what's wrong. So I wouldn't say that the point of it was to be sensual or anything, but it could definitely be a very covert idea that they're trying to sell us on.
I mean sensual in that it's not overt, that it's not.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It can be a covert. They are undercover with this mission, And I understand what you're saying. They do have those longing looks and the non-verbal communication, but I wouldn't really peg it as a sensual movie. Like, yeah, nothing about it will give me any sensual vibes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you wanted to talk about the pacing in this movie?
The pacing?
Yes.
What do you mean?
Like, certain parts are like they drag and certain parts are...
Oh, yeah. I was thinking like... you know, for the first half, part of the movie, I enjoyed it, and it was very informational, so I understand why it had to be long, and it kept me intrigued the entire time. But this one as well, although it kept me intrigued, I did feel like a little bit sleepy a couple of times, because I'm thinking, why are we still on with this? Like, we know kind of the plot is, what the plot is kind of following, so we want to go along with it, but why is it taking so long to get there, you know? Like, this guy had to start in the north, and then he went to the south, and then, like, I don't know, he's just been doing the things. All he needed to do was gather up some rebellions and fuck up their shit.
Well, I think it was important to see the change, right? Mm. At the beginning of the movie, he was... so there's a couple of things at the beginning. Mm-hmm. First, he says, I don't want to be your leader. I just want to be one of you.
Mm-hmm. He wants to be equal with them, yeah.
His mother takes the water of life, and they are proclaiming it to be a miracle, right? And he's like, yes, that was no miracle. My mother's trained to do this. But at the end of the movie, he's just gone full off into prophecy and, you know, tricking the Fremen into believing about this when it's not real, you know?
So definitely the change factor takes some time.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
So
I can understand that. And those small scenes like him taking the water of life, his mom taking the water of life, and even I'm saying when they extracted the water of life from that fucking worm, you're dying. I was shook. They've been drinking this worm juice all the time. You see, bro. So some of those things, they do definitely add an interesting aspect to the movie. And then,
yes.
Yeah.
So, but I do agree with your point that there's a little bit of fluff. It's a little bit indulgent. They could have, you know, been a bit quicker about it. It didn't need to be two hours 45 minutes. It could have been 2 hours and 20 minutes, you know, like but
because, like, I'm sorry, I'm just thinking he had a test to, they tested him to prove that he's the, you know, he's the Messiah or whatever.
Yeah,
And he has to also test to be included in their culture and part of them. So, like, that test was very kind of iffy. They were saying 1 minute he's doing this, then the scene cuts, then he's doing something else, then the scene. So I'm just thinking in my mind, logically, it's like, okay, he must do A, B, C, D. So, you know, he's trying to do A, B. But it would have been nice in the movie if they said, you know, these are the things that you need to do. In the next week, you have to prove yourself by doing these things, you know. And then they can show him doing each of those things.
I think that's what they did.
Okay. Kind of, like, I might have missed that.
Like, just in a different way that you're proposing. Right? There's a great line where Chani says, he's afraid of fundamentalists, and he should be. Right? Which is a big thing you see in religion. Do you know what a fundamentalist is?
No.
They take, like, whatever holy book they use, say, like, the Bible, the Quran, whatever, they use it literally. They're like, this literally happened. Whereas other people, they just take the lessons from it, you know.
The spirit of the law.
The spirit of what's happening, right?
Yeah.
So, in the world, we have these fundamentalists who are, like, biblical about things, that are like, we should stone people and we should... you know, abortion shouldn't be allowed, etc. They have these, like, totally old, like, outdated views, right?
Yeah.
And I think that was a, you know, from the director to the audience, telling them, like, you know,
don't be scared,
don't be a fundamentalist. You know, religion isn't the problem, it's fundamentalism that's the issue. Similarly, Chani is our voice of reason in this movie, I feel. She's the only one who's... Well, not the only one, because there's, you know...
No, I would agree, because out of all these people, they only see their prophet, they only see an enemy. But Chani just sees him as a person, and she, you know, she has that kind of good love for him. So I understand what you're saying in that
sense. She's the only one who doesn't... she's the one who sees him falling into this prophecy, and him, like... And him and her trying to save him from it. right? But yeah, I just really like that line. And I'm glad that they have a character specifically pointed out, you know. In the book, Charney is in favor of Paul, you know, going to the south and becoming the Quetzalcoatl. And, you know.
Yeah, it's not so much that
she's against it. It's it's good that we have an opposing viewpoint. Right? Stilgar, I really like Stilgar. He provides some excellent moments of humor. For example, when Paul said he's not the Mahdi, he says the Mahdi is too humble to proclaim he's the Mahdi. When at the end of the movie, when Paul wins the fight, he goes, you know, like he snaps back and he's like, listen, Al Ghaib. You know, he's like a big hype man. My brother,
for sure.
So after we watched the movie, we went to get supper. And we were discussing the movie, and my brother just called him the hype man. Because all that guy does is hype up to him.
For sure, bro. That's 100% the truth, bro. I feel you what he's saying. But that's what I say. He's got his own preconceived notion, and he's just within it, bro. So he would never be able to see outside or get an opposing view. So I'm glad that Zendaya was there. But for sure, he's the number one hype man. Everything. You know, when that big giant worm came, I remember he was shook, jumping and excited. He was like, yeah, you know. Bro, so
he's a huge dick rider.
Yeah, he's a huge... And
dick rider.
Dick rider.
And the worms are like, look like dicks. So he's literally a...
Right.
Yeah, dick. Anyway, similarly to what I was saying about Paul... I forgot to mention this, the ducal signet, his father's ring, is a sign of betrayal. So when he's trying to blend in with the Fremen, or at the beginning he was genuinely trying to be one of the Fremen, he takes the ring off and he puts it away. Then at the end of the movie, he puts it back on and says, I'm Paul Mahdi Betrayedes, and I'm doing this for my father. Or, you know, he says something to that effect. So... Yeah,
so this guy is on a mission for revenge.
Yes, but I don't think he was on a mission for revenge at the beginning. I think this whole, what's it called, arc of him going from, hey, I just want to be a Fremen, to, hey, I want to murder everyone.
Everybody will obey me. I'm the emperor now.
Yes, is... an outstanding turn to the dark side.
So then what's... Well, now I'd be interested to see what's next, because I also want to see what's happening with the sister. Because in this, they're showing the sister is more grown. The sister seems like...
Yes.
Woke F.
That's another thing.
So maybe the sister will come in and be an opposing
character. I don't know if I mentioned this, but in the book, the sister is alive.
Oh, really?
They do a 2-year time skip and the sister is...
Is born.
But because, you know, of the Water of Life, she's grown
exponentially.
Yeah, she's grown quicker than she would know. So even though she's 2 years old, she can speak. And
so it's like Twilight vibes, yeah.
Yeah.
when Bella gave birth, you know, that baby just grew instant. Yeah.
So I think it was a good idea to cut out the daughter, because the the sister. The sister is the one who kills Baron Harkonnen in the book. And I think that wouldn't have made sense. Here, this is an adult movie.
Yeah, you know,
like,
yeah.
Like, it makes a lot more sense for Paul to get his revenge.
You like the sound?
Yes, the sound design. You know, I was just speaking about the score, but in the IMAX theater, it moved me around. Like, it was so powerful that it just felt like I was there on the worm riding with them.
For sure.
Yes. What I don't know is, what is the Water of Life a metaphor for? So it comes from the worms, which look like dicks, so maybe semen. But I don't know. So,
well, what does the Water of Life do? What's its purpose? It said it could kill you, or it could... They always say, whenever they give the Water of Life, they say, you can have this water, it will kill you, or something else.
It's it gives you memories.
I know what it does, but I'm saying, what do they say? Because I know they specifically say something. They say, here's the Water of Life. Either it can kill you, Or it can...
I can't remember.
Yeah, it will do something else. So, I don't know. If you're saying it to me, it could be pussy, bro. Because... it's extracted from the worm, you know, and it can kill you or it can make you better. I don't know. That's just my guess, but
yeah, I have no idea.
Not everybody can have the water of life, you know.
Well, this is the thing: the water of life makes you remember.
Mm.
So Paul can see the future,
mm.
and the water of life allows him to see the past,
mm.
which makes him the Quetzalcoatl.
Mm.
So I don't know. Is it more drugs? A different type of drug?
Could be. Yeah, could be.
You know, like the mushrooms, it expands the mind.
Mm.
I have no idea.
Well, yeah, you're right. It could be a different type of drug. Because peyote and ayahuasca, those are natural things that come out of something. But those are plants, you know. So this has to be a venom of sorts or maybe like an acid. Who knows?
Mm.
Mm.
Anyway, finally, there are some cold lines in this movie that I just want to acknowledge, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, the grandmother, she says, we are the Bene Gesserit. We don't hope, we plan.
Mm.
Which, you know,
mm.
very cool. Josh Brolin, Tim says, Berlin died because of me.
Mm.
And Josh Brolin says, because you lose control. He says, no, because I gain it.
Mm. Yeah, that was a swag one.
Yes, and finally, my favorite and maybe the best line in this whole movie at the end of the movie says, "We await your orders, listen, Al Gaib." And he says, "Lead them to paradise."
Wesh, papa.
Which means go kill all of them.
I thought when he said lead them to paradise, I was like, and the way, you know what also gave me that impression was the sense of relief that flew over that guy's face. You know, I saw the relief, I was like, oh, finally, these people will get a chance to go somewhere nice. And then I saw them all loading in the spaceships. I was like, I bet these guys are definitely going off world. They're going to find a better place. Yeah. But then, yeah. Well, I guess if you think about it with the sense that before that they came and they said, yo, these people do not want to follow your orders. And they do not acknowledge you as the rightful emperor. So, what you trying to do?
Yeah.
And when you say lead them to paradise,
it means kill them. Send them to heaven.
Shit.
Yes. But that was the coldest line of the fucking movie. I loved it so much.
Mm.
Do you have any other closing points?
No. Just, I enjoyed the movie too. Yeah. Mm. I like the lines, like you said, the sound, all the effects. It was cool. I think the only scene I'm thinking of is when they were attacking that main, you know, that main hall where the emperor was, and all those fucking four worms was coming through, and they were all riding on the worms, and they were just popping out the sand, and yeah, that was a very swag moment, you know. That, like, you know, sometimes I was, like I'm saying, I'm falling asleep during the movie, but when I knew it's getting to that part, it's like, I gotta sit up, you know.
Yeah.
I gotta get ready. This shit's going down. Mm.
Sorry, I just wanted to bring up a few like setups and payoffs that came out.
Mm.
So at the beginning of the movie, we see like the what happened in the first movie. Remember, they killed the Atreides. Mm. It's called the Battle of Arrakis. The beginning of this movie, we see like Harkonnens, they are burning the bodies of the dead Atreides.
Mm.
And at the end of the movie, we see the Fremen burn the bodies of the dead Harkonnens.
Yeah.
And
full circle.
Yeah, yes, that came full circle.
Yeah.
When he meets Josh Brolin in the desert, he says, I can hear your footsteps, old man, or something like that. And that's from the first movie when... They told him, don't stand with your back towards the door. Speaking of which, at the beginning of the movie, he stands with his back towards the, like, open cliff.
Yeah.
And his mother comes and beats the dog shit.
Everybody is him about where you gotta stand.
Yeah, because that's the... You can get assassinated, you know.
Hey, man, he's clearly alive. He's doing okay.
Because people look out for him.
I mean, that's how you get through life, is it?
Not everyone has people.
But... You must then. I don't think you'll be able to get through life with no people, bro.
Okay, I agree with you. I'm just saying,
So if you don't have any people, you unfortunately not gonna make it very far in life.
Yeah. Mm. All right.
But yeah, that's my closing statement. As the lizard. So
when says. In the first movie, when Gurney and Paul were training, Gurney did that same move that Paul did to win the fight, where he put his hand in the middle and he stabbed him before you. You know, that was in the first movie.
So there's some references, and at least there's some connection between the movies.
Yes,
so
like it's that one definitely, like it's one full story. Yeah. Like that's what I'm trying to get at.
If you've got 5 hours of your day, you should definitely watch them back to back. It'll be dope, you know.
Yes, actually, it'll be 5.5. But
sure. It'll be dope nevertheless.
Yes. Big fan of these movies. So coming out of the theater, I gave it a 10. But as I've been thinking about it for the past few days, I'm slowly leaning towards a 9. But it's more like 9.5. But I don't do
0.5. Oh, I was about to say.
So I'm back to a 10.
Okay, rounding up.
I round up, right? Not round up, I just round. That's up. No.
Yeah, because if it was down.
If it was 9.4, then I round down. Oh. Yes.
So you're rounding up now because yes. I mind that. Yeah, okay, 10.
So I'm keeping it as a 10, but it's just kind of missing something. And I think it's somewhat to do with you know, your point about the pacing. My thing about, like, we could have used a little bit more color in a different planet. I guess to a certain extent they went to the Emperor's planet, right? But we very rarely get to see, like, the outside. We can only see the inside. It's, yeah. Any other thing you want to say? Well, what's your rating for the movie?
I'd also give it a 9, you know. I think this past week, the only thing that I've really been watching is Avatar. Yeah, because you remember I started watching the live action. Then where it ended, I started with the cartoon one. So I just finished that one yesterday, and it was dope. Best. So to be honest, that's the only thing that I can actually give a 10. I don't think anything else in the world.
In the world.
Yeah. Right now, like as it stands, you know where I am currently. Today, I'll say it like that. Because who knows, last year I would have said something differently. But overall, I give it a 9. Very good movie. Like I said, the visuals and stuff. And I'm sure you had a blast watching it in IMAX. Because that experience itself must be mind-blowing, you know. So
definitely is. Alright. So, recommendations.
Yes, tell me.
So, I watched the 1984 version of Dune again.
Yeah, I was going to say, wouldn't it make more sense now that you've caught up a little bit?
So, that's why I just wanted to... The fact that, you know, like what I said, when I first watched it, I had no fucking idea what was going on. Now that I know what's going on, it's a good... not a good adaptation. It's just everything's in there.
Yeah.
It's like,
very compact.
The effects are awful. Like, obviously it's from the 80s, but you know, what can you do?
So if you want the full roundabout story, you can just go to the 1984 one.
Or you could just read the book.
How many pages is the book?
I don't know.
I feel like that's a Harry Potter type book.
I'm never going to read that.
And now you're telling me there's 7 books.
Well, I don't know how many there are.
It's starting to sound like a Harry Potter series.
There's a lot of them. I don't know how many. There could be like 12.
All right. Any other recommendations?
So it was my birthday last week. And Stir Kinnikor gives you a free birthday ticket. That's only available for 1 week. So... I cashed it in and I watched Anyone But You.
How was that, bro?
It was funnier than I thought it would be.
It's like a rom-com, right?
Yes, it's a rom-com starring Glenn Powell and Sydney Sweeney. Yeah, it's just...
So it was pretty good?
Yes. You'd again, better than I thought.
Yeah? Better than you give it?
Oh, sorry. Let me just go back. June 1984. I give it a 6.
Okay.
Because the acting was also not good in that. So it's the effects, the acting.
Yeah. It's only the story that's giving it some meat.
Even the story is...
So why did you give it a 6, dude?
Because it's fun.
Okay, sure, sure.
I had a little bit of fun with it.
I bet.
And I gave it like a 4 or 5 the last time. Mm. So this is it's
improving.
Bumped it up, yeah.
I bet.
Anyway, anyone but you, I gave a 7.
Okay, nice.
It's funnier than I thought it would be.
Mm.
It's sweet. It's like.
I'm sure.
It's just a nice rom-com for Valentine's.
Mm.
But yeah, I was there alone. There were 2 couples in the cinema with me. It was just 5 people in there. And
perfect.
Not perfect. I prefer a 6th.
I mean,
so I wouldn't have to hold handles.
It's not like you were sitting right next to them, you know.
They were like, the one couple was like 2 seats ahead, and no.
Yeah.
Like four rows ahead of me, and then the other one was 2 ahead of me.
Okay.
So what can you do?
Sitting at the back. That's what you get, bro. If you sat in the front, you don't have to see couples. You only see the TV.
I just saw the TV as well. I wasn't looking at them.
Sure. So you weren't holding candles there.
I was aware of them. That's the problem.
You were aware of the candles, but you weren't holding them.
They were in my hands.
Yes, I.
Right. Anyway, thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Please remember to rate, review, subscribe, give a like, etc.
Mm-hmm.
Importantly, it needs to be a 5-star review.
Please
subscribe on Patreon to listen to our movie commentaries.
Mm-hmm.
You can find all our links at paicip.com. That's paicip.com. Please tell a friend. Tell that friend to tell a friend. Tell a family member.
And then tell the family member to let the dog know as well. Thank you very much.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye.